Our study this morning comes from 2 Samuel chapter 9. As we're well acquainted with the friendship of Jonathan, the son of King Saul, and David, who would become king after King Saul, but who remembers Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth? Well, Mephibosheth was dropped by his nurse when he was a small boy. Notice 2 Samuel 4:4. And Jonathan's, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, she fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Well, that of course was sad news. The death of Jonathan, of course, was a great man. His father, King Saul, had become jealous of David and had no longer the approval of God, and he was rejected by God as king. And so at their death, of course, this is what happened. As the news came back, the nurse in a hurry. So that was a sad situation, wasn't it? Now notice 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" So as we study this text together, may we all learn and apply some very valuable lessons to our lives today. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Remember our initials here, PFE. Let's stay focused and do just that. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we, of course, study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we come together to worship God in the assembly, we're striving to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth. But we also want to have a proper attitude, and that would be in spirit, in accordance to John 4:24. Now I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. We love to have visitors. Something else to mention, if you would be interested in studying the Bible together, we look forward to those opportunities and would set that up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses, free, of course, available. And we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. And we appreciate your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And there you'll find our radio sermons going back several years, and our bulletins and some good articles are found there. But let's get to our study now of 2 Samuel Chapter 9, 2 Samuel chapter 9. Let's just go ahead and read the entire chapter here. And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David the king and said unto him, Art thou Ziba? He said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet a son, who is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodibar. And then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that I should look upon such a dead dog as I am? Now that's humility, is it not? That's going too far, though. Now, verse 9. Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul, to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And notice, then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. And as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Michah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Now, first of all, we want to notice, as we look at the text we've just read, what's a good lesson for us all? Well, did not David look for an opportunity to do good? He didn't wait till the opportunity presented itself. He looked for it. So, you know, David could have remembered all the evil that Saul had done to him, but he did not. No, sir. And we can understand better why God chose David to replace King Saul. Let's go to Acts 13:22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, that is, removed Saul, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now at this time, when God had said that, David had not committed the sin with Bathsheba and had Uriah, her husband, killed. No, that was later. But you see, David was who God chose to replace King Saul. Now, again, as we're looking for lessons to apply to ourselves, David did not wait until someone made a suggestion to help Mephibosheth. But he took the initiative. What about us? Do we look for opportunities to do good? We don't want to miss opportunities. Saul certainly did, didn't he? Being king of Israel. But he messed it up. Let's look at Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. especially unto them who are the household of faith. We need to be practicing that, do we not? Now, let's ask ourselves, what kind of followers of Christ are we? If we haven't obeyed the gospel, then we're not a follower of Christ. And what would be a good excuse for not obeying the gospel? Well, there is none. And I'm quick to say that. There is none. The word good should not even have been used there. There's no excuse, period, for not obeying the gospel if we're of the age of accountability. So what kind of followers of Christ are we when it comes to remembering the evil done to us? You see, David didn't do that. Now let's go to 1 Peter 4. Here's a great passage in this regard. 1 Peter 4. We're going to start with verse 12. Verse 12 of 1 Peter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Did we note that? Exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, if we're following the teachings of Christ and following His authority, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well doing, as unto a faithful Creator. That's right. That is a great passage to study about suffering for Christ and glorifying God as we do so. Now, here's another question. Do we need someone to suggest to us to help others in need? Well, we shouldn't. No, sir. But let's go on in our study now and note this. David did this good deed for Jonathan's sake. Notice verse 7 of our text, 2 Samuel 9, verse 7. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Since David could not do anything for Jonathan, who is now departed, he chose to do the next best thing rather than doing nothing. Of course, David had fond memories of his friendship with Jonathan. We should remember that. Boy, they had a great friendship. And this motivated David to do good towards Mephibosheth. So here's a good question to learn from. What kind of fruit did Jonathan leave after his death? Think about that. So then this should relate to ourselves in asking, after our departure from this life, what kind of fruit will we leave our children, our families, our loved ones, our brethren? What kind of fruit will we leave? Remember, our children may be blessed or mistreated after we are gone by how we treated others. Right? That's right. What kind of memories will those left behind have of us after we have passed from this life? Remember Abel was killed by his brother Cain? Jealous? God found Abel's sacrifice acceptable. Cain's sacrifice was unacceptable. And Cain got all upset. And you see what happened because of his anger and jealousy. He took his brother's life. He, being dead, yet speaketh. Hebrews 11:4. The great hall of faith. There's Abel. We still remember Abel. He's still speaking. Well, that's what we're pointing out here. What about after our death? What's going to be said? You know, we would do well to have a good, while we're living, good associations with the elderly and remember their kindness and good behavior. Yes, that's right. But let's go on. We sing the hymn oftentimes, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Well, what are we willing to do for Jesus' sake? We talked about David doing something for Jonathan's sake, but now let's focus in on what's most important. What are we doing for Jesus' sake? David appreciated the friendship he had with Jonathan even after his death, but we have a greater friend in Jesus, do we not? Our Lord and Savior. 2 Corinthians 4:5. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Paul was right. The inspired Apostle Paul, writing to the Church of Christ at Corinth. For Jesus' sake. So again, what are we willing to do for Jesus' sake? You see, God the Father pours out blessings upon us, showers of blessings, and forgives us of our sins when we submit to His will, of course. For whose sake? Well, let's look at Ephesians 4:32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Boy, does that not pull at our heartstrings? Christ, our Redeemer, makes it possible for us to become adopted sons. Let's go to Galatians 4:4-7. Galatians 4:4-7. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman," the virgin birth, "made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." What a blessing to be an heir of God through Christ. Ephesians 1:4-5. "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." God didn't predestinate who's going to be saved, but how we're going to be saved, by being in Christ, by obeying the gospel and contacting his precious blood in the watery grave of baptism. Now let's go to Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Boy, we need to appreciate the love of God and the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, just as Mephibosheth was crippled by a fall, when we become accountable unto God, we fall because of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. And what about Romans 6:20-23? Notice, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin pays wages, death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. We can't have salvation in any other name. There's no other name given among men in heaven whereby we must be saved. Imagine having a king invite a man living in the slums to come to the king's palace to eat. Well, what about being invited by the King of Kings to the wedding feast of the Lamb? Revelation 19:9. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now let's go to Matthew 22:2-3. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. How tragic that so many today are refusing to come to salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, what would have happened had Mephibosheth not believed David and rejected his offer? Well, we would say he would have been very foolish. Well, what will happen to us if we continue to reject the invitation of Christ? It would be very foolish, more so. Matthew 11:28-30. Here's the invitation of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, that's being with the burden of sin, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's light compared to the burden of sin. Yes, we could be put to death for being a Christian, but that's still a light burden because we'll be in paradise. Now, here's the question to ask. In whose house are we? See, Mephibosheth was invited to David's house to sit at his table. But notice 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now this is not speaking of a church building. That's not what's being spoken of here, because the word church is ecclesia, the called out. That is the Christians who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. They're the church. They have been added to the body of Christ by the Lord Himself. And this is the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, we need to accept God's invitation and our Lord and Savior, who went to the cross not for His sins but ours, is pleading for us to come. But why are so many rejecting? Because they are deceived. They're not understanding what's going to be their outcome for eternity. Obviously they're not. What must I do to become a child of God? The first thing is to hear the truth, not fables, not fuzzy stories. The Word of God has to be heard. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Now, I'm ready to believe once I understand Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. I need to certainly believe that. As we know in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins, do you? Well, let's believe that Jesus is the Christ. That should motivate us to repent, to make a change of wills and do the will of God. Not our will, but Thy will be done. Acts 17:30. Yes, God has appointed a time in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man that He hath ordained. Unless we repent, we shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession. This is unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. We're going to state, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made that good confession, now we're ready to be immersed, to be baptized into a watery grave to contact the blood of Christ. Romans 6, beginning in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. You see, Jesus shed His blood in His death. In John, we saw that account when the soldier pierced Jesus' side, and forthwith came out there blood and water. Now, to contact that precious blood, we must be buried into His death under the water. And we're going to come up out of the water, and the Lord's going to add us to His body, the true church, Acts 2:47, and now live faithfully. And we thank you so much for listening today.